live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Gardaí have confirmed that plans to establish a second armed response unit in Donegal are being considered. A Donegal deputy has hit out at the Taoiseach over what he termed as inaction in addressing concerns of ambulance personnel. The Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation has been welcoming the EU Commission's contingency proposals adopted today to help mitigate the significant impact a no-deal Brexit would have on EU fisheries. And it's been revealed that there has been no provision for social housing in Lifford in over a decade, leading to calls for urgent progress on the matter. Those stories who follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, a time-limited backstop would be useless, according to the EU's chief Brexit negotiator. Michel Barnier has also said there will need to be checks at the border in the event of a no-deal Brexit. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
Again, we come back to the same issue that politicians have been fretting over for the last 6 months. The backstop. It's not acceptable to the DUP or many hard Brexiteers, making it very hard for Theresa May to pass a Brexit deal that contains the backstop. Yet the Irish government insists it's essential, and this morning Michel Barnier has said it can't be time limited. He compared that to taking out insurance for 5 years and then having something go wrong in the sixth. The British Prime Minister's plan has been to go back to Brussels again to look for further concessions on the backstop, but Barnier's comments seem to take a wrecking ball to that. All while concern about a hard border with Northern Ireland is growing, with experts today warning an Oireachtas committee that human rights for people living in the north would be seriously damaged by Brexit.
Meanwhile, the Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation has been welcoming the EU Commission's contingency proposals adopted today to help mitigate the significant impact a no-deal Brexit would have on EU fisheries. The first proposal will allow fishermen and operators from EU member states receive compensation under the European Maritime and Fisheries Fund for the temporary cessation of fishing activities, while the second, more importantly, amends the regulation on the sustainable management of the external fleets, which would ensure the EU is in a position to grant UK vessels access to EU waters until the end of 2019, on the condition that EU vessels are also granted reciprocal access to UK waters. KFO CEO Sean O'Donoghue is confident the UK will honour their part of the deal.
Obviously, I don't support a no Brexit deal, but at least what the Commission put out today is something we have called for last December and before that. In the event of a no-deal Brexit for 2019, that the agreement that was reached on quotas in December, that would be carried through to the end, to the end of the year, which was agreed in December, but the access part of that wasn't agreed. So I'm glad that the Commission put out today that they are prepared to offer the UK the status quo arrangements for access and quota share for 2019, on the understanding that they would do the same. And all clear understanding from Michael Gove in the UK Parliament in October that was certainly the same situation with the UK. So if that is the case and we have a hard Brexit, we have a reprieve from the evil day by 9 months, which would allow us some time.
And if there is no deal, are there any plans being discussed at the moment for post the 9 month period?
No, that is something we have asked both the department and the government. That is something that we're actively going to pursue with them. But if we can at least get a breathing space of 9 months, it allows us some time to put in place contingency measures.
The chair of the Donegal Joint Policing Committee has welcomed confirmation that Gardaí are considering the establishment of a second armed response unit in Donegal to be based in the north of the county. At present, the only unit in the county is based in Ballyshannon, and the problems that causes were highlighted earlier this month when the unit took some time to respond to a tragic incident in Killygordon during which Jasmine McMonagall lost her life. JPC Chair Councillor Jeremy McMonagall was speaking earlier on the 9 till noon show.
Take the size of Donegal, and if there's more than one incident at any given time, then you would have to have a response from the likes of Monaghan or Dundalk, and they have to travel all the way around the border. So, times of the essence in emergency cases like this, as we all know. Superintendent pointed out also that there was armed guardy in the county, and that all detectives were trained in firearms, and there was cover there of some out, but having a dedicated response unit was probably the best way to be.
In terms of policing, we know the God Representative Association say, look, we need more members up here, full stop, not least in the case of having to do anything on the border. Was there much talk of policing responsibility post a potential hard Brexit?
Yeah, and it's something that's been coming up at the JPC since Brexit first raised its ugly head. We've discussed it in a number of meetings. I've actually emailed the Commissioner, Drew Harris, on two occasions asking him for a meeting or to meet a delegation from the JPC or to attend one of our JPC meetings here in Donegal to hear it firsthand, the concerns that the JPC members have, and not just the JPC members, but rank and file Gardaí in relation to the resources or the lack of resources that we currently have.
A Donegal deputy has hit out at the Taoiseach over what he termed as inaction in addressing concerns of ambulance personnel. Hundreds walked off the job yesterday in a strike over union recognition, with almost 40% of Donegal's paramedics and other ambulance personnel in the county also taking part. The Psychiatric Nurses Association says further strikes are likely unless the HSE resolve the issue. Speaking in the Dáil, Deputy Pearse Doherty says people in rural communities are fearful that a vital service wouldn't be available in an emergency situation. He urged Leo Varadkar to step in.
We have the HSE simply refusing to deal with this issue. We have the HSE simply refusing to meet with NASRA relation to contingency planning. And in the middle of all of this, there are patients, there are people, particularly in rural and isolated communities, that are fearful of that if something could happen and that the service is not there and this is happening on your watch. And they have warned you that they will escalate unless this is dealt with. So take an interest and sort this out.
And responding, the Taoiseach says the HSE recognises three unions already and that the government currently engages with them. His comments led to a heated reaction from some TDs.
It's not a requirement that any employer, either a public employer or a private employer, has to collect the union dues on behalf of that union. Nor is it a requirement that they necessarily recognise that union. As things stand, the HSE recognises three unions already that represent paramedics and ambulance staff, and they are all unions affiliated to ICTU, and government engages with the union movement through ICTU.
Deputies, please. No. Hold on. No, deputies. We don't need it. I've given it a fair airing.
Women suffering from cervical cancer are to be offered the drug Pembro for their treatment after a high-profile campaign. It had only been available to the victims of the cervical check scandal up until now. Doctors will be able to offer it on a case-by-case basis if they deem it could help the woman. The cost will be footed by the state and it will only be available to cervical cancer sufferers. The Minister for Children has apologised to survivors of mother and baby homes after another delay in the work of a commission of investigation examining the experiences of the institution's former residents. The commission had been due to report next month, however, the government has granted a one-year extension. One of the key stumbling blocks is said to be a lack of HSE documentation on some institutions, with one such case highlighted in Donegal. Catherine Gaffney has more.
In its fourth interim report, the commission said the delay was partly due to the late arrival of documents from the Department of Health. It also criticised the HSE for the lack of documentation it holds in relation to institutions under its remit. It said the inability of the HSE to provide relevant material may be due to changes in health service structures over the years. However, it's difficult to understand how relatively recent documentation is not available, the Commission said. For example, it said the HSE held no documentation about its involvement in the castle in Newtown Conyngham, which opened in 1984 and closed as recently as 2006. The Commission said a further interim report in March will offer more detail as to what happened in terms of burials at various institutions. Ms. Sapone apologised to the former residents, saying she was deeply sorry about the delayed report.
There are calls for urgent progress to be made on the provision of social housing in the Lifford area. No social housing has been developed in the town for over a decade, with Donegal County Council officials saying while they have no definitive plan in place at the moment, they are examining a number of options for Lifford under the Social Housing Investment Programme. Councillor Gerry Crawford says while there has been progress elsewhere, many families in Lifford have been left frustrated.
I very much welcome the housing schemes that have progressed in Stranorlar and other areas, and I very much welcome the fact that housing schemes will begin in Rafoe and St Johnson in the coming period. But Lifford has not had an allocation of houses for a very long number of years. There is land available in Lifford. There is a request gone out for turnkey development. The people who are on the waiting list need encouragement, and they need to know that their hope of a house is on the horizon.
And indeed, as you said, it is causing undue stress to many families, but they do need to see there needs to be an end in sight.
Yes, the stage that we're at here now seems to be all involved in paperwork, and that is very necessary. But the people who are on the list, the people who are daily contacting myself and others, asking about the possibility of homes for themselves and their family in the Lifford area, we're looking for something very positive in that, and we need to see a date when that will be possible, when that will be happening.
A Donegal deputy says it's simply unfair. School secretaries in Donegal are still feeling the brunt of a two-tier pay structure. 10% of school secretaries across Ireland are employed by the Department of Education, while the remainder are paid from school funding. The 90% not employed by the department also lose out on benefits such as pensions, sick leave entitlements and incremental pay scale increases. Deputy Charlie McConlogh is calling on the current structure to be reversed.
There's a very unfair situation where some school secretaries are employed directly by the Department of Education and others are then employed directly by the school using a small grant that they receive from the department. This means that there's massive differences between the terms and conditions for those that are employed directly by the department and those that are employed directly by the school. And it is something that school secretaries have been working and come together on to try and have addressed. But unfortunately, as you say, over the last number of years, that has failed to be actually rectified. So it is essential now that we see the government and the Minister for Education actually act to engage with them and try to come to a satisfactory resolution, because they do perform a very important role within schools. They're an essential part of the school organisational team, and it's essential that they are treated fairly, and the department needs to ensure that a situation is brought to bear where they're on the same terms and conditions, and we don't see the wage disparity where some are on terms and conditions which are much less than others.
What's the basis upon which just 10% of school secretaries are employed by the department? What was the reason that allowed that to happen?
It's a legacy issue, and it has meant now that as a result of that, many school secretaries have been taken on directly by schools instead of by the department. That for those who are in full-time roles, you can see anything a difference in salaries, anything up to €10,000, which is very, very significant, as well as then the difference in terms of terms and conditions. So it is something that the department and the minister needs to grapple with, and he does now need to actually engage with them and come to a resolution and a plan as to how this might be addressed.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, hosting an ASICS representative in store on Saturday the 26th of January from 12 to 4 with top tips and advice on running.
It's 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with Hoshi.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with Gaelic Games. And Donegal's Jimmy Brennan kicked 7 points for Sligo IT this afternoon, but it wasn't enough to help his side stay in the Sigerson Cup. Sligo, who trailed from the outset, lost heavily 6-20 to 1-9 in Kerry to IT Tralee. Bundoor man Brennan scored 111 in their two games, which both ended in defeat. Fellow Donegal men Nathan Boyle, Andrew McLean and Kevin McBerty also featured today for Sligo, while Aero's Paddy Gillespie came off the bench to score a point of 40 in the second half. The Kerry side will now play St Mary's in the next round. Action continues tonight with three other games in the Sigerson competition. Among them, Dublin Institute of Technology will play Athlone IT. Red Hughes' Stephen McMenamin is expected to line out there for DIT, while St Union's Niall Hannigan could feature for Queens as they play NUI Galway. Well, Donegal start their National Football League Division 2 campaign this Sunday in Ennis against Clare. The last time the counties met was in the old Division 2A of the league in 2006, a game which Donegal won in Ballybuffet. There will be a few changes to the Donegal lineup this Sunday from the team which lined out in the McKenna Cup semi-final a number of weeks ago. The likes of Leo McLoone, Paddy McGrath, Owen Ban Gallagher and Stephen McMenamin are set to return to the team sheet. Donegal manager Declan Bonner says prep has been good since the McKenna Cup.
It's been grand, to be quite honest. There's been a lot of distractions in terms of third level, Sigerson Trench Cup. But and saying that now, we've got a couple of good weeks behind us. And as I said, you know, from the outset of the McKenna Cup, we were using that in preparation for the league. And you know that, you know, it served its purpose. And we, you know, we finished off with a very good game against a very physically strong Armagh side. And you know, the test on Sunday against Clare will be no different than what we faced against Armagh. So we've got to be ready for it.
And you can hear more from Declan Bonner in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. And of course, this coming Sunday, if you can't make it as far as Ennis, tune Highland Radio's way, because we will have the full match live for you as from 1:45 this coming Sunday afternoon. And ahead of that game tonight on Tom Comack's GAA programme, there'll also be a Donegal Clare field to the show. We'll be hearing from Tony Boyle and Clare's only all-star footballer, Seamus Clancy. Usual throw-in time to the GA programme tonight is at 8:30. In rugby, Arnott head coach Joe Smith insists Jonathan Sexton will be fit for next week's Six Nations opener against England. The World Player of the Year has been out of action since suffering a calf injury during Leinster's festive defeat to Munster. Smith is confident, however, that Sexton will play in Saturday week's competition opener at the Aviva. Captain Rory Best says his presence is key to Ireland retaining the Six Nations title.
In the big games, you want as many of your world-class players as you get them. There's probably no more world-class than the World Player of the Year, and he is. He's a very important player for us. It's not to say that there aren't options, but ultimately Johnny Sexton is a team that probably any, or a player that any team in the world would take, and we are very lucky to have him. And yeah, look, he's showing all the signs now that he'll be right.
Moving on to soccer, across channel tonight, Manchester City will confirm their place in the League Cup final. They take a 9-0 lead into their second leg with Burton Albion at the Pirelli Stadium. This evening starts at 7:45. And on the transfer front, Gonzalo Higuain will be a Chelsea player within the next few hours. The Argentinian striker is at Stamford Bridge to sign for the Premier League club, having completed a medical. Chelsea boss Mauricio Sarri says Higuain's deal won't be completed in time to allow him to play in Thursday's League Cup semi-final second leg with Tottenham. In basketball, Donegal's Coláiste Aille lifted the school's under 16 girls National Cup title this week at the National Basketball Arena in Dublin. They were comfortable 59-26 point winners over Limerick's Laurel Hill on Tuesday. A Shannon Nikunugan inspired performance led the Letterkenny school to glory with an MVP display and a whopping 40 points total. Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan is coach of the Coláiste Aille basketball side.
That's amazing. It's nothing more than the girls deserve for their tireless hard work since the start of the year. You know, they put in the effort, they've done the reps, and they got the rewards today. We thought if we put them under pressure early on, then the rest would take care of itself, and that's what we did. We got the points on the board early. It's worked out well for us in the end.
Finally, we go to tennis. Serena Williams has refused to blame an ankle issue for her Australian Open quarterfinal defeat to Caroline Pliskova. The 23-time Grand Slam winner had 4 match points in the 3 sets while leading 5-1, but ended up losing the decider 7-5. Pliskova will face US Open champion Naomi Osaka in the semi-finals. And the men's top seed Novak Djokovic remains on course to win a 7th Australian Open crown. 8th seed Kei Nishikori retired hurt while a set and 4-1 down in their quarterfinal earlier today. Djokovic will now take on a Luka Pui in the next stage of the competition. We'll have our next bulletin here in Highland tomorrow morning after the 8 news, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news, members of the Oireachtas Health Committee have hit out at officials from the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform. It's after department officials didn't attend the committee hearing, which was examining the spiralling cost of the new National Children's Hospital. HSE and Department of Health officials were questioned on the increase of the cost from €983 million to €1.7 billion. Fianna Fáil TD Margaret Murphy O'Mahony expressed her disappointment over the absence of officials.
And I just want to highlight that no officials are here from the Department of Expenditure and Reform, even though we did invite them. And I think it's a bit like staging Hamlet without the prince, not having them here. But not your fault that they're not here, but I would just want to put it on the record, my disappointment that they didn't see fit to send anyone in.
And finally, the government has sanctioned over €100,000 for four festivals in Donegal this year. The financial support is being provided by Fáilte Ireland to enhance and promote events across the county. Donegal International Rally is to receive €15,000. The Rory Gallagher International Tribute Festival gets €37,000. The Errigal Arts Festival will receive €35,000, while €20,000 has also been allocated to the C sessions. Education Minister Joe McHugh says the funding will be important to the festivals now to get preparatory work underway.
It is really very targeted on the major festivals, the international festivals, and in particular we've got a rich tradition with the Donegal International Rally, for example, also the Rory Gallagher International Festival, and then festivals then like the more recent years such as SeaFest, and then obviously the Errigal Arts Festival, which is very much an integral part of our calendar year. So it's embedding a consistent stream of funding from Fáilte Éireann, and I would like to acknowledge them for that support.
And quite timely that this funding has been sanctioned now in January. Most of those festivals who have received the funding take place during the summer, gives them the money to get the preparations well underway in advance.
Yeah, groups, individuals like to plan. They like to know the certainty as to what budgets are available, and certainly this will be of help. And I know like a lot of these groups rely on sponsorship as well, but I think it just gives a good endorsement to the work that's going on, and ultimately the number of people involved on a voluntary basis around these festivals are the people who drive it, and obviously the communities that support them.
Weather night tonight will be cloudy with some light rain, drizzle and mist in places overnight, and lowest temperatures of 2 to 6 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, the Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation has been welcoming the EU Commission's contingency proposals adopted today to help mitigate the significant impact a no-deal Brexit would have on EU fisheries. The chair of the Donegal Joint Policing Committee has welcomed confirmation that Gardaí are considering the establishment of a second armed response unit in the county to be based in the north of Donegal. At present, the only unit in the county is based in Ballyshannon. A Donegal deputy has hit out at the Taoiseach over what he termed as inaction in addressing concerns of ambulance personnel. Hundreds walked off the job yesterday in a strike over union recognition, with almost 40% of Donegal's paramedics and other ambulance personnel taking part. And there are calls for urgent progress to be made on the provision of social housing in the Lifford area. No social housing has been developed in the town for over a decade, with Donegal County Council officials saying while they have no definitive plan in place at the moment, they are examining a number of options under the Social Housing Investment Programme. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 23rd of January. The death has occurred at Dunloe District Hospital of Margaret Wallace, Crovay, Dunloe. Her remains will repose at her sister Anne McBride Wallace's residence in Lochinure from 9:30 this evening. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in Mahary Cemetery. The death has taken place of Sean Diffley, Clonfad, Rooski, County Roscommon. His remains will repose at the Shannon Lodge Nursing Home Chapel, Rooski, from 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, concluding with prayers at 8 o'clock. Removal on Friday morning to arrive at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church, Rooski, for funeral mass at 10:30, followed by burial in Kilbarry Cemetery. The death has taken place of Breach Call, Nae Doherty, Knockestoller, Bunbeg. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning for 11 o'clock mass in St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m., house private pleas from after the rosary until 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Bobby Dobson, Drumore, Kilmacrennan. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Charlie McLafferty, funeral director. The death has taken place of Norma Aileen Snodgrass, née Bell, 3 Lougher Road, Sion Mills. Funeral from her late home on Friday afternoon at 12:15, followed by service in Strabane Presbyterian Church at 1 o'clock, followed by burial in Ernie Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Strabane Presbyterian Church, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, funeral director. The death has occurred of Vincent McCool, Main Street, Stranorlar. His remains are reposing at his brother Gerard McCool's home at Dunwiley, Stranorlar, until rosary at 10 o'clock this evening, and then again tomorrow from 11 a.m. until removal at 7 p.m. to the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorlar, reposing overnight. Funeral mass on Friday morning at 11 with interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. The death has taken place of Seamus Thompson, formerly of Ard McCarran, Ballybuffet. His remains are reposing at his son Alan's home at 22 Mourne Avenue, Strabane. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorlar at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has taken place of Mary O'Donnell, Cashel na Gore, Gortha Hork. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there tomorrow morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in Christ the King Church, Gortha Hork, with burial afterwards in the adjacent cemetery. Rosary at 9 p.m. with family time, please, after the rosary and before the funeral tomorrow.